This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Daniel Dickinson. In this week's programme, reconciliation is an unfinished business in Liberia. And following an earthquake in Tanzania, what needs to be done to reduce the number of people who are killed in similar disasters? But first, the people of South Sudan are crying out for justice and accountability for the crimes they've suffered, according to the UN Commission on Human Rights for the country. Three members of the commission have just finished a visit to the troubled African state. They found that no progress has been made in punishing those responsible for crimes during the more than two-year civil war there. Ratemir Petrovic is in the South Sudanese capital, Juba, and has been speaking to the chairperson of the commission, Yasmin Suka.
South Sudan is really in a crisis of security, and the violations are ongoing. Women particularly experience high levels of sexual violence, and of course in terms of their socioeconomic rights situation, it's really quite dire.
And what is the way forward?
One of the mandates of the commission is to look into to monitor really and report on the human rights situation, but also to look at whether or not the Chapter 5 institutions have been established and to provide some advice on what to do in respect of them. In addition to that, to look at the question of accountability. The one thing that is very, very clear and is the underlying thread to our visits is this question of impunity. There is no doubt that the situation is not going to change unless we begin to deal with accountability for those who are perpetrating these kinds of serious crimes. Ultimately, you can't build peace without justice. And anybody who suggests that is really making a false dichotomy between peace and justice. At the end of the day, as our experiences have shown in many, many countries who were dealing with post-conflict issues, the surest path to dealing with sustained peace is to manage the questions of accountability and to ensure that ordinary citizens are able to access justice and reparations for the crimes that have been perpetrated against them.
Do we have a critical mass here of people requesting justice?
Wherever we went in the three places that we were in, the abiding cry was for justice and for accountability. As one old man said, how many times do we need to use the word condemn before we move ourselves to action? And action is for accountability for the crimes and the human rights violations that are being perpetrated and which really make the lives of citizens intolerable. Women particularly face the most grievous harms.
The reconciliation of former foes in Liberia following years of civil war and conflict is an unfinished business, according to a senior UN peacekeeping official. 2 months ago, the West African country assumed full security responsibilities from the UN mission in Liberia, UNMIL, a process which has been described as a huge achievement. Elgasim Wane, the UN Assistant Secretary General for Peacekeeping Operations, has just spent 2 weeks in Liberia. In the capital, Monrovia, Russell Geeky asked him for his impressions.
I would like to highlight two critical points. One has to do with the acknowledgement by all of our interlocutors of the significant progress made by Liberia. There is no doubt about it. Peace has been restored, and that's a huge achievement which Liberians have to be proud of. And as United Nations, of course, we're proud to have been associated in partnership with the Liberians in achieving that result. Having said that, all of our interlocutors, including the Liberian authorities, do also recognize that a number of challenges are yet to be overcome. They relate to the unfinished business of national reconciliation, to the need to enhance governance, to the implementation of a number of critical reforms, land reforms, decentralization, fighting impunity, enhancing the capacity of the Liberian security institutions, And these processes are absolutely critical for long-term peace and stability in Liberia, and they have to be taken to their logical conclusion. Our interlocutors did also emphasize the importance of the forthcoming elections next year in October. These will mark democratic transition. They are critical not only to the consolidation of democracy, but also to the consolidation of peace.
Are there specific challenges that your mission identified related to the security forces that you could talk about?
Well, first of all, I would start by commending the Liberians for assuming the security responsibilities following the transition that took place in June. I think that was a milestone in our partnership with them. And a lot of efforts have been made to build up capable, effective Liberian security institution. There is no doubt about it. But our interlocutors did also point out the fact that there are capacity gaps in terms of equipment that need to be addressed. While progress has been made, the ability of security institutions to fully assume their responsibility is also a long-term process.
Can I ask, what can we expect next? When can we expect the recommendations, and what are the next steps in terms of deciding the future of the mission UNMIL?
The first next step would be the submission of a report by the Secretary General to the United Nations Security Council, and the Security Council will pronounce itself on this matter, on the recommendations, by December of this year. And I would like to say that from our consultations, we all agree with our Liberian interlocutors that while we have achieved a lot, we still have some work to do, and we have to secure the gains that have been made. It is absolutely critical to ensure that what has been achieved is preserved.
El Gassim Wane, the UN Assistant Secretary General for Peacekeeping Operations. Developing and enforcing building codes could help East African countries to better withstand the effects of earthquakes, floods, and other catastrophes. That's according to a UN expert on disaster risk reduction, speaking in the aftermath of the magnitude 5.9 quake which struck Tanzania on September the 10th. At least 16 people died in the disaster, while 840 buildings were destroyed. More than 1,200 other structures were damaged. Amjad Abashar heads the UN's Regional Office for Disaster Risk Reduction, known as UNISDR, which is based in Nairobi, Kenya. Assumpta Masoi began by asking him if the Tanzania earthquake was a rare phenomenon.
The earthquakes in that particular region in Africa, because they're close to the Rift Valley or along the Rift Valley, are rare, like most earthquakes are rare. The records show that there's been at least 10 other earthquakes in the last 100 years. But the interesting thing I wanted to point out, that all these earthquakes together, the total number of deaths were about 19. But this one particular earthquake resulted in 16 deaths, and it was 5.9 on the Richter scale. So one earthquake alone has given significant damages, significant losses of life compared to the earthquakes that we've had in the past.
Now looking ahead, Amjad, governments in sub-Saharan Africa, what should they do to make sure that if ever it happens again, the impact is going to be minimized?
One of the important things that are happening right now, particularly in East Africa and under the lead of the East Africa community, is just this year, the East Africa community, which includes Tanzania as well, have developed and adopted a disaster risk management bill. This risk management bill sets the framework for preparedness and response and disaster risk reduction and provides the African countries, particularly those who belong to the East African community, with a framework by which they will develop disaster risk reduction activities, which may include awareness raising, which may include building codes, strengthening building codes, early warning systems, as well as other preparedness and prevention activities based on the needs of the country. So now the next step is to get the political actors, you know, the decision makers, to translate that particular bill into their own national laws and develop national strategies for disaster risk reduction. Because the costs of disaster risk reduction in the long run, it's much cheaper than a disaster response.
Assumpta Masoi talking to Amjad Abashar of UNISDR. That brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.